This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
In a week where so much has happened, one man stands alone, poised to tackle it all and take your calls. Armed with just his wit and a stack of stats, he embarks on a quest that will require 4 hours of intense concentration, telephonic communication, and the mockery of jockery. This is the Robin Lundberg Show.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show, coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. These are challenging times, and Rocket Mortgage is prepared to help. If you need mortgage assistance, contact their team 24/7 at rocketmortgage.com. From their home to yours, the team at Rocket Mortgage is with you. I've been attempting to celebrate the return of the NBA, the schedule release. It felt real for me last night, seeing the schedule, seeing 1 p.m. games. You know, 9 p.m. games being the latest games here on the East Coast. And I just wanted to take some joy in something. It's been a rough few months, and wanted to see if you wanted to join with me. At 855-212-4227, we had a caller bring up baseball as well. Hey, if baseball is your thing and you're more excited about that in the moment, that is fine as well. 855-212-4227, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, sponsored by Geico. Geico has introduced the Geico Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers that last your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for info and eligibility. Let's go to Joe in Pennsylvania. Joe, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hi, Robin. I listen to your show every week. I'm excited about basketball and baseball coming back also. But I wanted to take you to task a little bit. You keep mentioning about the messaging and of the social justice thing, and you think that basketball is getting it right, and you're disappointed in baseball. Mm-hmm. But most people that I know do not want to hear what a 20 or maybe 30-year-old athlete thinks about social justice or his view on politics. We want to see them perform. We pay to root them on. They have very little real-world experience, and I don't think it's healthy for them to all be grandstanding. It's similar to if you had a bunch of high school kids and we were listening to what their thoughts were and we really believed in them and thought that it held weight. Most people want to watch sports as an escape, and lately sports has been pushing politics right in our face that we're trying to escape.
It's not politics. It's not politics. That's just life, man. And tough.
Okay, but
you're going to have to learn to live with it. Tough. These are real life issues that people are experiencing. You can't just like push them to the side. That's the whole point of these conversations anymore. Like, no, you're not just pushing it to the side. And while I agree in a sense with your sentiment that there are some people that maybe this isn't the venue for. There are some people that if they choose not to speak, that's cool because they're not the person you necessarily want to hear from. But those same people you're saying just give me entertainment, a lot of them have real-life experience. And obviously in the NBA, you're dealing with a lot of black men who have an experience and have lived an experience that I haven't or can speak from a place that I can't and obviously feel passionate. So for anybody who's like, I don't want to hear, I want to get escaped, but tough. That's what I
would
say.
But I know high school kids feel passionately about things, too, until they learn more about life.
What do they have to do with high school kids? They're not high school kids. Is LeBron James a high school kid? Is Chris Paul a high school kid?
Right. Not all of them. But the fact that it's all in your face and you root it on and you think that baseball should do more, baseball's doing it right.
No, baseball. So arguing about money is what you want to hear. That's more important because that was that.
No, I'm talking
was that,
about your view on their social justice.
What view? Keep, what view am I talking about? Tell me what view I'm talking
saying,
about.
I will if you stop talking over me. They keep saying you keep saying that the NBA was more righteous in their delivery of their stance on these issues, and baseball has been mute. Other than arguing about money, they haven't said anything about it, and I. And a massive amount of people are like, good. I don't want to hear that from a sports franchise or anything like that.
You would say an argument about money is better than standing up for something you believe in? That's, you know.
Yeah, because a lot of people that believe exactly the opposite of what
those people believe in. You believe Black Lives don't matter? The exact opposite?
No, I know that a person that is black lives matter. Of course so. But the Black Lives Matter movement has nothing to do with Black Lives Mattering. That's a whole political construct that you're bringing
up. In what sense? What are you attaching to these NBA players? What messaging have you heard that bothers you so much?
Anybody that starts tweeting or retweeting or getting on their platform and talking about the movement of BLM. Now, again,
give me an example of what has bothered you from an NBA player. Give me, because right now you're attaching a straw man. You're saying that this is something people are doing that's bothering you, and you're not even telling me a real-life example. Because the messaging I've seen from the NBA, I don't know how you could possibly have a problem with it, unless you have a problem deep-rooted inside you. Because I don't know what messaging they've put forward that is problematic to you.
Well, let me ask you. You said that they were more righteous. What view did they put out that was really righteous to you?
It's a righteous argument, a righteous discussion, where some of the guys are saying we don't want to return because we think it's going to distract, while other guys are saying, hey, no, this is a platform we can use while we play, while we do our jobs, while we provide a distraction, we can also, you know, keep this conversation up in the forefront. That, to me, is a righteous discussion, rather than pay me this versus don't pay me this.
Okay, so you want people to talk about the Black Lives Matter movement as if it's a good thing. But what I'm telling you is there's a massive amount of people who don't like the rioting and the
protesting. We're not talking about rioting. Nobody's talking about rioting. No, you're telling on yourself, dog.
The Black Lives Matter movement is about
What about the Black Lives Matter? Forget you don't even – first of all, that's just not true, right? Like, first of all, that's not true. No, it's not true. You're attached – okay. Is there – let me separate a movement, Black Lives Matter movement, from the reality of the messaging that we're talking about. Black Lives Matter, right? Coach K got on his platform yesterday and said it passionately. Black Lives Matter, right?
Right.
Like, okay, and aside from that, do you agree with police brutality?
Well,
are you for
I don't
or against
police
brutality
against black people or white people or Hispanic
people? There you just went all lives matter. I didn't even ask you that. Do you agree with police brutality?
No, do you?
Of course not. So if someone was to say, hey, I think we need to do something about police brutality, that's a message that offends you? If someone's to say, hey, black people have had a tough time in this country for a long time, and we're trying to address some of those issues, that offends you?
No, that does not offend me.
Okay, so what are you talking about?
You brought up in particular, you're throwing a lot of darts at me here, so let me pick them off one by one. You brought up in particular the Black Lives Matter movement.
I did not. First of all, I said the movement happened in our country. But the Black Lives Matter movement. Okay. So what you're trying to do, here's what you're trying to do. You're trying to take some sector of, you know, any behavior that anybody you've seen do that you don't disagree with, or some messaging from one section of a movement, and then apply that to the entire thing and paint it with a broad brush and say, this is what it's about, some sort of radical thing that I disagree with, or you know, a handful, a small percentage of this massive movement that has done something I disagree with, and then say that's what they're about. And that's not the case. That's you're playing a game to make it negative when it's not.
No, once again, the Black Lives Matter movement in particular, for example, is not about trying to get equality. Do you understand how it was formed and what it's about and the things that they chant and the things that they do?
Who are they? What are you talking about?
We'll start with the founders of Black Lives Matter.
Who are they?
The leader of it. Well,
who's that? Tell me who that is.
I'm trying to go through my Rolodex in my mind for their names. I can't think of them right now.
Because you don't know. Because you're making it up.
I'm not making it up.
Yes, you are. You're attaching it.
I just saw one interviewed on the news the other day.
No, you saw some propaganda, and then you're parroting the propaganda.
No.
Yes.
Yes. I'm looking.
Give me an example. Who's the leader?
I can't think of the name.
Who's the person? Who's the person that's leading this chant and that has co-opted the movement in a negative way? Tell me who it is and what they're doing.
I can't tell you a name while I'm driving on the phone right now.
No, because you don't know, dude.
I do know. I've seen it on television. I've seen it.
Who did you see say it on TV? Sean Hannity or something?
A group of them. Well, I would much rather trust him than CNN or something like that.
Uh-huh, okay.
But I've seen a group of people that do that. And you're in a bubble, too, so you believe there's this massive movement for it because you're in,
dog,
in the market.
Dog, look at the streets, my man. What bubble are you talking about?
What streets?
I can look at Street Broadway. How about Broadway?
Right.
Does that ring a bell to you? How about Central Park West?
You're talking about large metropolitan areas where they're having...
No, BS, man. It's all over the country, and you know it.
No.
Yes. It is all over the country, and you know it.
Are you
all over Alabama? Why do you think SEC is pushing to take down the flag of Mississippi? Of Mississippi?
And because they're all socially posturing.
Or maybe Confederate symbols don't belong in our society? Is that possible?
Perhaps that's a different discussion, but I'm not talking about all of that. I'm talking about you thinking that...
Dog, I am fine with a different viewpoint. If you want to express a different viewpoint and you want to have a productive discourse or a productive dialogue, that's fine. What you're trying to do is undermine an entire movement, and I'll say movement, by attaching some sort of significance to an outlier piece of behavior or some slogan that you heard that you don't like, and then pretend that that's some sort of radicalized thing that is not representative of the greater movement that we see across the country.
How it started, how it's a Marxist movement. You need to educate yourself on a little bit.
You don't know what you're talking about. You're just spewing nonsense.
I clearly know more than you based on
Mark. Give me an example. What is a Marxist movement? What does Marxist even mean?
Marxist is the followers of Karl Marx who want to tear down the society as it is and turn it into a socialist, communist type of environment. They've said it.
And who said it? Who's the leader you're talking about?
Again, I can't think of his name, but there was a leader on the news the other day getting interviewed, and he said he wanted to burn the entire society down, and he wouldn't stop.
And that's representative of everybody that's out in the streets peacefully protesting?
Well,
millions
not
of people who are doing that?
Peacefully protesting, are they?
For the vast majority of people are peacefully protesting. Yes, thank you. I appreciate the call, man. Look, I'm not playing those games. I'm not playing those games. Those are bad faith games. You want to have a difference of opinion? You want to say, let me use the slogan defund the police for a second, because I know that's where, if somebody wanted to argue and discuss the merits of that slogan, fine. Because I can understand where someone would go, hey, I don't know if that's the message we want to get across because that's not going to win over as many people. Like if you were to say rethink the police, maybe that's a better slogan, better messaging. The actual method behind that would be you're taking away some of the funding so that you can rebuild and restructure. I mean, we see Minneapolis disbanded its police department. That actually happened in Camden, New Jersey a few years ago, and it was effective. But I can understand, we can have like real discussions and differences of opinions on how to approach certain things. That's fine. But you're trying to undermine a feeling and a collective spirit that people have, a righteous one, like I said, a righteous one, by attaching some sort of motive or radical, you know, behavior to it and making that what it's all about. And everybody knows that's not what it's all about. Let's go to Richie in Florida. Richie, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Richie?
Hey, Robin, I have to tell you, my body is shaking from what I just heard. I mean it. You are so good and so patient, and I am like, I just don't understand what this person was talking about. Why didn't he just come out and say that he's a racist pig and he doesn't believe that anybody should, you know, believe in anything other than what Trump believes in? Because that's what he's talking about. You know, he's really, he's masking his true feelings by making, trying, telling you you're talking over him and you're wrong. And he's got all these examples, yet he doesn't have one example.
Yeah.
I mean, what's wrong with this guy?
Right? Unfortunately, there's a lot, you know. And I think that's the. I do think he's now the minority, that sort of viewpoint, right?
Oh,
but
yeah.
there's a lot like that, and they, you know, it's. Let me. Sure. I'm going to tie it into. Hold on 1 second, man. I'm going to tie it into the flag debate for a second, right? It's very uh-huh. similar to that, where for so long you had people. You know, you have people who feel a certain way about the flag, and that's fine, right? You have people who feel like, I will stand, I will honor the country because that's the way I feel. That's fine. But you also have the people who were just shouting down anyone who would protest or saying, you're disrespecting the flag, when they were trying to bring attention to those issues. And those people would use that as a shield, if you will, to block their true intentions and the true hatred that was coming out of them. And you see that in these little catchphrases and stuff that a guy like that will say.
Absolutely. You know, the interesting thing is, you know, he brought up every point that he brought up. He had nothing. He couldn't stand behind anything. He doesn't even realize what Black Lives Matter means. You know, he's talking about rioting and listen, What reprehends me and makes me sick is the fact that we are in the worst pandemic in the history of this country. We lead the world in deaths and in cases, and we have somebody that wants to take away health care. Okay? I mean, why does he direct that? What does he think about that? You know? I mean, it was. I'm telling you, Robin, I listen to you all the time. I listen to... John Kincaid, you know, you guys are great, but that was probably the most offensive phone call I've heard in the last 10 years. And I mean it. He was really bad. He's a bad man. So, I hope he looks in the mirror and likes what he sees, because I certainly heard him and don't like what I heard. But he's entitled to say it. I give him that. I give him the floor. He could voice his opinion. You know, that's America. We allow that. But you know what? He's just a bad person. And, it really stirred me up. I was just lying here listening, and then that guy came on. Anyway, I'm looking forward to the NBA with a lot of angst. And as a Yankee fan, starting in 1954, I'm 70, but 70 is the new 40. I was born and raised in Mickey Mantle. So, let's go, Yankees.
Richie, I appreciate the call, man. Thank you for listening. You said something about, I'll just say leadership. I think there is a crisis of leadership currently, and that's one of the reasons I have praised the NBA, is because I think they have leadership. You know, I think they have the kind of leadership we could use. They have a plan. How about a plan? That's good, right? It's nice to see a plan, right? And the NBA can resume normal activity in a sense. Obviously, it's different because they're dealing with the reality of the virus, but they're going to have a schedule. They're going to have a season because they have a plan, because they have leadership. And when I say, you know, I want them to keep messaging, yes, I want people to express how they feel about these important issues. And there may be some people who express something that I don't necessarily completely agree with, but the spirit of what people are expressing right now, I agree with. And if you don't, I don't know what to say. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Tom Brady had a message that he wanted to get across on Instagram. We'll get to that coming up as well. It's the Robin Ludberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio.
Following Robin Ludberg on Twitter is easy. His Twitter handle is @RobinLundberg.
That is true. That is true. Some people reacting to a caller we had a little while ago, Miguel Pierre, Jeffrey Anderson, football fan. I see you all there. Fightin' Amish also tweets in, good morning. I knew you would be happy about this, my man. This NBA schedule feeds right into your wheelhouse. Owning an ad agency, I'm curious to see how all these sports ramp-ups do in ratings going against each other, both locally and nationally. Enjoy the games. That's interesting, you know, because in baseball, you have the regional aspect of things, and I'm sure that will do well as normal. I think the NBA ratings are going to go up across the board because one, those 9 o'clock time slots I think are more friendly. I think Clippers Lakers at 9 o'clock will do better than Clippers Lakers at 10:30. And then I also think, you know, that excitement of having it all day and the current functionality of how society is going will add to it, especially when you don't know what you got till it's gone, right? Is anybody going to call a regular season basketball game meaningless again? S. Myers 85 tweets in, I'm excited for football. I'm predicting my Browns go 10-6. That's kind of bold. Basketball is going to be fun to watch. Not my Cavs, though. LOL. Well, you know, the Cavs are where they are for a reason at the moment. 855-212-4227 is the phone number. 855-212-4227. And let's go now to Nelson in Maryland. Nelson, you're up next here on CBS Sports
Radio. Yes, how you doing?
What's up, Nelson?
Hey, ain't too much. I wanted to call and respond to the caller that was trying to explain what he believes the black movement has turned into. And the caller after him claimed that he was a racist, which I don't see him being a racist. I think what he was trying to explain was the way that the black movement has turned into what appears to be an agenda, which has turned into a political agenda based on the people who are playing roles, who are given the voices on TV to talk about not only voting inside this, but they also talk about the virus. So there's a collective of things that people are talking about that really isn't part of what the purpose is for the Black Lives Matter, or should you say Black Lives Matter too.
What do you mean? I don't understand what you mean. But, okay, because you say the black movement. You realize black people are all different, right? They're all individuals. It's a group of individuals.
I'm black, just to let you know. So
okay,
I understand.
That's fine.
I understand
I'm trying to understand what you mean, whether you're black or whatever. Like, I'm trying to understand what you mean, because everybody's an individual.
What are you trying to understand, though?
I'm trying to understand what the thing is. Yes, what people are expressing, because if one person says something you disagree with, or somebody on TV, a pundit, says something you disagree with, why is that now being ascribed to the general movement or feeling or spirit or uprising that we've seen?
Well, I mean, that's the question. Why does all of a sudden all these sports players, entertainers, actors, not only are they coming up with viruses, but they also have a voice that regular people don't have? It would be different if the black movement was all about the voice of myself or my neighbor, but it's never none of those. It's always given some type of leader out of left wing, right wing, that no black people around the world even know who they are. And who says that
these
people
are? But who are you talking about? This is what I don't understand.
I'm talking about anybody you tried to get the guy to name. You tried to play a game with him. I thought that you were just trying to get him to name some names that he's not
even familiar
with.
No, I'm trying to get an
example
of what...
I'm not even familiar with any of the
black... Okay, so then what are we talking about? If we can't provide an example of this issue that has co-opted the movement, as you guys say, if we cannot provide an example of one of these leaders or one of these messages that's getting out, what are we even talking about?
We're talking about nothing, because there is no black agenda. What is the black agenda, first of all? They can't even say. And second of all, you're talking about police brutality. The only way you're going to stop police brutality is you attack the oath. Because they pledge an oath. An oath is totally different than federal laws. An oath is an oath. They pledge, for instance, if I was a police officer and I'm under oath, the oath says if my mother points a gun at my partner, I am to terminate that threat regardless. That's an oath. That's not a law. So anytime a police responds irrationally or brutality, or even go to the extent of killing, whether it's a black person or what have you, any human shouldn't be mistreated. But that oath dictates what that cop is allowed to do. So until people understand that...
What oath are you referencing that says that specifically, what you just said?
I don't know the oath, but there's an oath that officers...
We can't just make stuff up, man.
Officers, I'm not making stuff up. You're the one that don't have no reference to anything. All you're doing is just asking questions.
They take an oath to uphold the law.
That oath is not a law oath. Do you take an oath to uphold the law? No,
I'm
not
a police officer.
Follow the law.
But dude, we just can't throw stuff like that out there without
Let me ask you, the oath of
if my mother. No. What you just said. What you just said specifically. What is the source for that?
What is the source of an oath?
Yes.
If
my mother does this, I have to terminate my mother, or whatever you just said. Where is that in writing?
That would be protection of me. If his mother's pointing a gun at me, that police officer under oath got to terminate his mother.
But where is the oath that you're talking about that says that explicitly, what you just said?
Where is the oath? I'm pretty sure the oath is available online. It's no different than the sworn in oath that the president takes. The same thing.
Yes, there is an oath, but I want to talk about the actual. But my point is, when we're having these discussions, we have to talk about the facts. We have to talk about what it actually says. Yes, there is an oath of office. There is an oath to uphold the law that police officers take, and I appreciate the call. But you can't just throw these wild things out there without the support for them. And again, I'm not talking about, when you say the message of the black, everybody's going to have a different message. People are going to have a different message. The collective message as I receive it, Black Lives Matter, we got to do something about the policing in this country. And there's been a long-held institutional problem when it comes to systemic racism and injustice that denies opportunities and puts black people in prison systems at a higher rate. Stuff like that can be addressed that you can look at. That's the message that I'm receiving. I don't know these crazy, radical messages that you're receiving that you attach to everybody else involved. And different people, entertainers, whatnot. I just saw Dave Chappelle talk about it. Dave Chappelle said he didn't even need to say anything because the streets were speaking for him. And there are celebrities who are speaking out. There are NBA players who are speaking out. There are also regular folks that are speaking out. Y'all are calling in. People are on the streets. Let's go to Steve in Green Bay. Steve, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio. What's up?
How's it going, Zach? I've been a long-time listener.
Who?
Listen, I don't like getting political on sports radio and whatnot, but listen, the guy that the prior caller was talking about, Lives Matter, his name is Sean King. Mm-hmm. And he was on Twitter, and he was doing all kinds of threatening things on Twitter. I mean, just get on Twitter once in a while and take a look at it. And
what is that? Why does he speak?
Now, hold on.
Regardless of what he said, why does that speak for an entire movement or a group of people?
Over everybody else.
Just as if some famous white dude were to say, well, I mean, I think Sean King is a white dude, but so I don't get it.
The Black Lives Matter is a shell company for the Democratic Party.
Oh, okay. All right. Goodbye. We're not playing conspiracy games. Sorry. I'm not entertaining that nonsense. Educate yourselves, people. Look, I will welcome any real conversation. I will welcome a difference of opinion. I will. I'm honest about that. I'm not into cancel culture. I'm not into any of that stuff. But don't spew nonsense at me. Research what you're saying. Don't just parrot some nonsense. You guys have to deal with reality. We have to deal with reality. I don't even know how we got, and so many of you that say you don't want to talk about political, why are you calling then? That's all you call about. That wasn't what I was trying to celebrate the start of the NBA season today. That was the point. That was the question I threw out to the callers. At 855-212-4227. And then all of you who claim you never want to hear this stuff, that's all you want to talk about. But bring your receipts. Bring your reasonable, rational point of view. Then we can have a real talk. Don't spit that propaganda, conspiracy theory garbage at me, because I will tell you what it is. I will tell the truth.
He's a student of sports and a professor of pop culture. He's Robin Lundberg.
It is the Robin Lundberg Show here on CBS Sports Radio. I want to get into Tom Brady's Instagram post, what it means for the NFL season. You know, the NBA season's coming back. They have a plan. I'm curious what the NFL season's plan is. I do want to get into that. 855-212-4227. But first, let's go to Devin in Atlanta. Devin, you're up next here on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, good morning, Lundberg. How you doing, man?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm good, man. I just want to say I was a fan. I've been a fan of you since you was with the Paul Letterman in New York in the morning, man. So I've been listening to you since then. So I just want to give you a big shout-out for handling the callers like you've been handling them. I know this is not a political show, but I appreciate how you basically excoriated them for them not really having their facts and really talking some things that seems particularly weird during this time. So shout-out to you for that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, what I also wanted to say was real quick, and then I'll jump off of that, is the dude where this whole thing started from and what he was trying to correlate with the Black Lives Matter movement and the whole Marxist thing was a little strange. But there is an article in the New York Post that talks about the co-founder, which are women, by the way, which he didn't know, but that's different. Another story for another day. There is an article out there that talks about one of the founders calling herself a trained Marxist, but neither here nor there. That's all I'm really just put to it. There is something out there, but, you know, the way he was kind of trying to explain what he was trying to explain was really weird, and I just appreciate you just eviscerating him like you did.
Well, so Devin, I mean, I think I saw – I looked it up during the break, and I'll let you continue in a second, but I saw somebody had brought up Sean King. I think some of this response is he called for white statues of Jesus to be taken down. Like, here's what I would say to people. You know, like, you have to be able to hear something you don't like, right? Just like it's these same people who are claiming that everybody's being censored or canceled who are getting all bent out of shape when they hear something they don't like. And then they're attaching one person saying something to an entire group of people, which is just outrageous, right? Because to me, if we're looking at it at the macro level, what is the message of the movement at this moment? The message of the movement is Black people have been disenfranchised for far too long, both, you know, from employment status to healthcare status to policing, and that there's a policing problem in the country in general, right? Like that's more of the overall message. And if there's one person or one person who's leading one organization or whatever who says something you disagree with, to then paint that across the entire movement that we see from people in everyday life, right? People I work with, my friends, people like that. Then you're just trying to find that. You're just looking for a reason to latch on to something like that.
Yeah, that's true. But the problem is, Robin, is that people are still out here who don't want to open up and really hear all sides of the story, and really just have a real educated conversation for change. And you know that's the problem. The problem is people out here still closed-minded and don't really want to change. And until we get past that, you know, we still gonna have weirdos like we had on the call earlier. But neither here nor there. I really want to put energy back into the NBA like you do.
Okay.
I'm excited about the NBA starting as well. I'll pose a question to you: Who do you want to see at the end as far as the two teams? Or who do you think is gonna win it? And thank you for the call.
You know, I want to see the Lakers, and I guess I would say the Lakers and the Bucks. I mean, that's the easiest stock response, but I think that probably makes for the most entertaining final series at the moment. You get Giannis, you know, who may win his second consecutive MVP. Milwaukee, like, you know, a small market team, are rallying around this one superstar. They play great team basketball and whatnot versus the Lakers and LeBron, who, you know, obviously LeBron is going after big things on the court and beyond, but another on the court championship would be a huge boost to even the career he already has. I mean, like, at this point, anything's icing on the cake for LeBron, but it would be a delicious coat of icing for him to get a championship with a third franchise. That he'd be the first superstar to ever win with three different franchises. I mean, I think we all want to see the Lakers play the Clippers in a series. And then the Bucks, I think it's interesting in the East because I don't think it's as foregone a conclusion as people want to make it out to be that they get out of the East, simply because in the playoffs we've seen you know, Giannis maybe struggle to get his own shot down the stretch of games. Budenholzer's teams not exactly rise to the occasion in the playoffs. And with this layoff, there's so many different variables at play. And then in the East itself, You have you have teams like Boston. You have a team like Miami, who I think could give them some trouble in a series. So I think it's going to be entertaining to see how that all plays out. But if you're asking me which two teams, if I was just picking two, I'd say the Bucks and the Lakers. I think there are wild card teams out there. I think, to me, the two biggest wild card teams are Boston and Houston. I think Boston has versatile personnel. They're well coached, and they could give people some problems. And then I think Houston, because of the long layoff, that may benefit them more than most other teams. James Harden takes on such a load for that team on a night in, night out basis, and he's had time off. And then they're a smaller team, right? They have these small lineups that wear on you after a while when you're playing small and you're trying to match up with these big guys. You can get physically exhausted, but a break from that could help them get back out there. And then they have the variance of their three-point shooting. They shoot so many threes that you could see that go either way. So I think there's a lot of interesting factors, but I think if we're all being honest, the story of the NBA playoffs is LeBron. I mean, he's been the story of the NBA season outside of what Giannis and the Bucks are doing, and the story of the NBA really for a long time. And I think when you look at all the different ways that he's been brought into the conversation of late, or put himself in the conversation, I mean, we see what he's done with his voice. We've seen what he's done. You know, he's got this group that is fighting against black voter suppression. He's got his media empire started. A lot of that stuff is, I think he said something about Colin Kaepernick that became headlines, you know, that, you know, his voice is out there. But remember, when it shut down, we were marveling at his game in year 17. In year 17, the level he was still playing at. And obviously, the Lakers went through a lot this year. We all went through a lot this year. But the you know, that organization, especially, going to be hard hit by the loss of Kobe Bryant. Now, that's not a LeBron James thing, of course, but that's just part of the you know, fabric of the season storyline up until that point. Now, I hesitate the word. Let me take back the word storyline. It's not a storyline. Obviously, Kobe's life was lost, and his family lost someone important to him, and we all lost a legendary figure in the sports world. But that was an event that happened during the course of this. Then there's the Last Dance and all the LeBron Jordan conversations that happened as a result of that. So I think LeBron has been a central figure in this return too. People have pointed to him as the guy that wants it to happen more than anybody, whether that's fair or not. It's what Patrick Beverly tweeted out, right? So I think I would be rooting personally for LeBron to get that championship and win it, and for the Lakers to be there. I think that's going to draw in the most fans, but the best team's going to win it. And I'd like to see a Lakers-Clippers series. I think the Rockets are a big wild card, like I said. And then I think teams like Boston and Miami could give the Bucks a run for their money in the Eastern Conference as well. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227, at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. You know, there is some talk around the NFL this week, because for the first time, the NFL schedule has been upset a little bit. It's been tweaked a little bit. You know, the NFL's been able to, in a sense, keep its you know, head in the sand about coronavirus, about everything that's going on at the moment, because their schedule was not disrupted. You know, that if the pandemic had hit a month earlier, there would have been no Super Bowl. It's just the truth, right? And instead, we remember Shakira and J-Lo. Remember that? The outrage over that? How stupid. That was stupid at the time, but man, does it look even stupider now. And Patrick Mahomes wouldn't have won his first Super Bowl. None of that would have happened. And, you know, if that was a month earlier. Instead, it was a month later. And the NFL schedule has gone on as planned so far. People criticize them for free agency, but I think at the beginning of the pandemic, it was the right decision in retrospect. People needed something to be excited about, distracted by, and Tom Brady going to the Buccaneers provided that. And then there was the draft, which I always argued could be done virtually, so why not do it? And they did that, and that was a great success for them. Then they had their schedule release, and now they're planning training camps, but they did have to cancel the Hall of Fame game, which is probably the first disruption we've seen in their schedule. And to me, it seems like they're just trying to push the calendar as far as they can and hope that the numbers go down and hope that the situation gets better by the time that they're ready to start in the fall. But if their approach thus far has been an indication of what their approach is going to be, it's business as usual. That's the tack that the NFL has taken, business as usual. And I wonder if it's going to work in this case. And, you know, Tom Brady posted on Instagram, on his Instagram story, probably so it would be deleted within 24 hours and wouldn't live there forever. People could take the screen grab. He said the only thing we have to fear is fear itself. And there was a picture of him working out and drinking from a TB12 jug or something like that. And, you know, this is after the NFL Players Association had called for group organized workouts to not happen at the moment. You know, to take some time before you actually just report to training camp. And Brady essentially thumbing his nose at that recommendation from his own union. And, you know, the quote itself is, you could unpack it a couple ways. One, you know, the source of that quote was negatively impacted by a virus in his life. But my problem with Tom Brady and his post is not his sentiment, because I actually agree with Brady's sentiment. My problem with what Brady posted is his message, because I feel his sentiment can be expressed without that message. And I'll try to explain the distinction I'm drawing there coming up in just a minute. But you can weigh in as well at Robin Lundberg on Twitter. That's RobinLundberg. Also on the phone lines, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4227. Want to remind you, today at 12:30 Eastern, 8:30 Pacific on CBS, women's soccer returns as the two-time defending champs North Carolina take on the Portland Thorns in the NWSL Challenge Cup on CBS and live stream on All Access. Once again, it is the Robin Lundberg Show, and it's here with you on CBS Sports Radio.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app, the biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.